Thank you, worship team. I'm hope that brought you into a heart of worship, that your heart's centered on God as we continue with a word from God. We have Dr. Harrison Mungell. Come on up. He's going to share with us. And he's been in ministry for 40 years and been specializing in mental health, right? And he went to school for that, but I think he has more of a qualification. This man has 7 children. And so that's going to help you with mental health, right?
Sure.
He lives in the GT area over by Toronto and actually in Brampton and resides in the church there. But he travels around the world just sharing God's message. And so God has left the message on his heart, and it's God's word. So let's welcome Harrison as he brings the word of God to us.
Thank you.
Let me pray for you, okay?
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just be with Harrison as he, Lord, as he delivers this message. And Lord, he knows the words are from you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we listen, that these are your words coming through this man that you've chosen to bring the message. Lord, apply it to our hearts. Help us not to just leave it in our seats, but to take it with us as we leave today. And to just bring your word to people through it. I thank you, for I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting that 37 years ago and 4 months, I was down in Nanticoke, which is Lake Erie here, south, I believe, or west. And that's why I proposed to my wife, Kathleen. She's right there, that blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And so it's no coincidence to be here and to bring you the word of God today. And so, yeah, you know, yesterday we were here and I was sitting down, I was seeing all these people that is on the beach, and I was thinking, wow, I wonder who is the next professor, who's the next doctor, who is the next world changer and history maker, who's the next person that is going to change the world and share about the love of Jesus to somebody. Who's the next one that has that potential that can open up doors to be a great leader in our country and to be able to be an influence? And as I started pondering that word, the scripture came to me from Ephesians chapter 2 that says, in fact, I'm going to read it to you. It says that God sees us as his masterpiece. And I thought that was very interesting. Are you doing good this morning? All right. So I'm going to read it to you. You know, after 37 years being with my wife and seeing the joy of being married, we travel a lot, as the pastor says. And with 7 children, our oldest is 37 and our youngest is 23. And we have 6 married. And we also have a bunch of grandchildren as well. And I know you're probably wondering how I have the hair on my head. Well, the key is you need to have 7 children. When you have 7 children, you have a lot of hair on your head. But don't worry about the color. You know, like God has blessed people with, we can have color and make it black, right? Otherwise, I'll be here white and gray up here, but that's okay. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long time ago." See, when we were born, God sees you to be his masterpiece. And what is a masterpiece? Well, a masterpiece is something that is created without flaws and without any kind of defect. But we're living in a world today where there are so many situations that people encounter. You know, people struggle with behaviors, with addictions. People struggle with sicknesses, whether it's mentally related or whether it's physically related. And you ask yourself, how can this happen to me? Well, you know, when I think of life, I think of how God make us perfect in his being as his masterpiece. And he brags about us. In fact, the Bible says that God writes our name on the palm of his hands, and he knows how many hair we have. And I mean, for some of us who don't have hair, you used to have hair, right? So he knows that. Amen. And you think, you know, when I look at life, I think about how God made us perfect. And life is like a river where we're walking through. And as you walk through rivers, I don't know if you have ever been to rivers where there are leeches. And these leeches attach themselves to you and try to suck the life out of you. So if you want to picture all the negative things that has come about in your life right now as you sit down this morning, if you want to identify them as leeches, you got to look at how God is able to take them away from you. How God is able to heal the sick, and how God is able, you know, to break that addictions that you're struggling with, or that financial difficulties, or even trying to raise your children and wondering how on earth am I going to raise these children because they all have different characters and personalities. Well, we have 6 daughters and 1 son, so you can imagine raising 6 daughters. Imagine the time of the month, right? Like when, I don't know why that happens to women, but men have it too when they get older. I see that more and more. But all of those things is God created us in such a way that when we learn to identify that we are God's perfect masterpiece, and these situations that we encounter from day to day, God has a solution for it. It starts to change your perspective of how much God really loves us. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we're from, if we came from a dysfunctional home or not, if we were sexually abused or have any type of abuse growing up, God is our healer and he's able to do that because he sees us to be his masterpiece. Do you see yourself to be a masterpiece of God?
Amen.
Amen. So with that being said, you know, I started to look at if we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, then we give up hope and we live life, you know, just like que sera, sera, whatever will be, and that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to fulfill a destiny that he has designed for us. Whether we take baby steps or not, there is a destiny designed for us, and God designed that you will be here today and you'll be sitting and listening to this message, and the people next to you, you're going to make connection with those people, and maybe whether it's for 5 minutes or maybe it's for a lifetime, God orchestrates our life. The Bible says that he orders our steps. He's a lamp unto our feet. He guides our pathway. You know, when we learn to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is nothing greater that we can live in this life knowing that we are in his arms and he holds us like he holds the day and he holds the time. And so, you know, when we moved to our place we used to live in St. Catharines here, and then we moved to Toronto in 1999. We were missionaries in Croatia from 94 to 97, and see a lot of people got killed during the time of the war there. And you start to really appreciate life in terms of how quickly life can fade away like a vapor. And so you ask yourself, you know, what can I do to make a difference in this world? And that's something my wife and I, we try our best to see what can we make a difference in the life of someone, because you can see people today and tomorrow they're gone. But if we can give a little hope and put life in people's life in terms of introducing them to the love of God and how much God really cares for them, it can change lives. You know, I worked in a field where high-risk suicide. I worked in healthcare for over 20 years of my career, and seen how many people never make it because they become hopeless. And they don't see themselves the way God sees them as his masterpiece. They see weaknesses. They see the flaws. I mean, when you look in the mirror, if you cannot love yourself in the mirror, we have a big problem. I mean, when you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, it doesn't look so good, right? You don't want to see my face in the morning. My hair is all over the place. But I'm still God's masterpiece. And you look beyond the flaws and the mistakes and you realize that, yeah, God does have a plan. And God does have a purpose. And God does have a destiny for my life. But when we moved to our place 20 years ago, there was this little oak tree. There was actually this little acorn that was sitting in our, there was a lot of acorns kind of growing all around. And I look at 20 years later, and I never thought, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I look through the front door, there's this big oak tree that is standing right in front of our yard. And I thought to myself, how many of us have those acorns in our lives where God has embedded or put in our lives those giftings and talents as his masterpiece, that as we grow and nurture ourselves, we can become an oak tree. All the gifts can become an oak tree, whatever it may be, because we are all gifted and talented in different ways. And with that being said, you know, I was thinking, what should I bring to you today and a scripture that came to my mind. In fact, it's a story and I want to read it to you. In John chapter 1, verse 43, it says, the day Jesus decided to leave Galilee, finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from a town of Bethsaida. Now Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. And then this is Nathanael's statement, that Nazareth, can any good thing come out from there? Can any good thing come out from the city? Can any good thing come out from Canada? Come on now. Yeah. Absolutely. God has a lot of good things to come out through our nation. And I know we have a lot of praying people. God's timing is always the perfect timing. And then, he says, come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. And that kind of struck me, that Jesus is always looking at us. He's always looking at the potential that we carry to make a difference in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationship, as parents, as friends, as colleagues, even as people in our community. Jesus is always looking at how we can make a difference. And then the Bible says, Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Now, we have to believe in our hearts that God has more for us on this earth. That there are greater things that are going to come to pass. There are a lot of things that God has prophesied over the country, countries, over the world. You know, Jesus says in so many times that we will see greater things in our time because God wants to stir up our country and bring revival to our nation. You know, every day you hear of people committing suicide and hear of people who are struck by addictions. You hear of marriages falling apart. You hear of children leaving their homes. Brokenness in marriages. I hear it all the time. And you ask yourself, you know, can life be better than this? Well, I want to tell you today, life can be better than this because God is a big God. Amen. He sees the potential in our lives. God, I mean, when I think of myself, where God brought me from, I came from a very little village in the Caribbean where there was only two homes, no running water, no electricity. At 14 years old, you know, I was sick. I was paralyzed. I had a blood disease. I serve a religion with millions of God, and not even one God could have healed me. And my parents got a Christian pastor who came and shared about the love of God and read Psalm 27, that the Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear? And by praying for me, he pulled me out of that bed, and immediately it felt like a hot shower came over my life. Every day to me is like it just happened yesterday. And I know you're not in my shoes, but what I want to tell you, my friends, is that the same God who healed me when I was 14 years has never left my side. Amen. He has been with me throughout my journey. He has opened up a lot of doors. He took me from nothing, and he made me an amazing person that I'm proud of, to be a good dad, a good husband, a good father. Amen. That's the love of God. Now, you asked me when I was 14 years old, could I have seen myself? All I saw was death. All I saw was poverty. All I saw was my weaknesses. I did not see more to life. I grew up in a place where addictions was very prevalent. You know how you grow tomatoes? Do you grow tomato trees here? Well, I grew up where they will grow the marijuana trees. So everybody was bobbing their head and was on a high. But we need to be a high on Jesus. Amen, is the greatest high. And I often ask myself, if God didn't heal me, what would have happened to me? I know I wouldn't be where I am today. And I don't know why not everybody gets healed. It's a question I have. I don't know why every problems are not solved. But I will never give up hope and encouraging people that the God we serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. Because there's a power that resonates in our lives. The God of creation is the God that we serve. You know, the same God who moved, the Spirit of God who moved upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be, and there was. That's the God we serve. The God who was able to part the Red Sea. And the God who was able to make fire come down and consume an offering. The God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is the same God that we serve. The God who walked upon this earth over 2,000 years ago and shed his blood on the cross and died and rose again. That's the victory we have. Amen. And he's the God who has great things for your life. You may not see the potential like an acorn, but God sees that you will be a great oak tree one day. And you need to see it in yourself. Amen. Come on, if you want to clap, give the Lord a round of applause. That's right. He deserves it all. So I asked myself, what are three things I can leave with you today that when you leave this place, you can actually ponder upon what is God seeing in my life? What is the potential in me? What is the baby steps that I can take to make a difference in my home, in my marriage, in my relationship with people, in my job? What can I do? What are some of the little things of life I can do? Because you are God's masterpiece. He displays your life. He's proud of you. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus intercedes for our lives. He cares so much for us that he wants the very best for us. You see the negative things in life. You know, every day we're in a world where people criticize us. You look at the news and things are so terrible. But the God that we serve, he sees beyond the terrible things. He sees hope. He sees that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. He sees that there is potential in every one of us. So a few things, three things I want to leave with you today. Number one, Jesus sees greatness before we do. Jesus sees greatness in you before we do. In John 1:47, when Nathanael approached Jesus, Jesus did not start his conversation like we usually do. You know, today was my first time meeting the group here, and the questions that I was asked is, so where are you from? You know, people ask, where are you from? Where were you born? What is your background? Typically, I would say maybe I'm Chinese, or, you know, I want people to guess my ethnicity. They will ask, so what kind of work do you do? You know, what is your job? Well, people don't ask how much money you make, but usually they will do if you're doing a survey, right? They ask questions about you. But Jesus did not ask those type of questions because he's looking for something greater inside of you. He didn't ask, you know, Jesus asked Nathanael, what is your name? Where you from? What do you do for a living? Jesus didn't say, well, maybe you need to dress appropriate, or why are you wearing this, or what are you doing this for? Jesus did not look at those things. He looked at the heart of Nathanael. And that's what we need to start looking at. People look to critique. You know, instead of pointing out the 99 good things in life, we typically point out the one wrong thing. But God is very different than that. He looks at the good things we do. He always have hope for you and I because we are his masterpiece. You know, sometimes we spend time, our entire life, in things that we fail at and we give up hope. But that's not how God sees. You need to realize when God approves you for a position in this life, he approves you to be a mother, he approves you to be a wife, he approves you to be a father, he approves you to be a man or woman, he approves you to be the greatest leader out there, maybe a CEO of a company or some kind of a job or whatever you're doing in life, wherever you are, when God approves you, God will equip you to fulfill what he places in your heart. Today I want to tell you, never stop dreaming. You know, when you stop dreaming, you're going to give up hope. You need to realize that Jesus sees greatness in you. He doesn't see the flaws in you. He doesn't see the weaknesses because those things can go away. Like Nathanael, you know, he sees a lot of things. He saw the natural things, but God saw the supernatural thing. You know, there is a story where there was an eagle that was being raised by chickens. Have you heard that story? No? So you know what chickens does, right? They scratch all the time. They scratch, scratch, scratch all the time. And they're always trying to pick on things on the ground. And then one day the eagle looks up and saw a bunch of eagles flying and soaring, and they're beautiful out there. And this eagle, you know, when he look up, he says, oh, I can do this. Now this eagle was raised in an environment that all it knew was to scratch. Do you think at that moment the eagle grew wings? No. The eagle just did not know the potential it had. So when it started to fly, it realized, wow, I can do more than just scratch. Now we need to see the same principle. We may be like that eagle that's living in an environment that all we do is scratch, when God is saying, it's time that you soar like the eagle and look at life. He will take you above where no one can take you. You know, sometimes life can be like a maze. I don't know if you've ever been to a maze where you get blocked at times and you have to kind of start all over and move around. Well, I've been in some of those in life. But one thing I've learned is when you spend time with God and He becomes your very best friend, He will take you above the maze of life and show you where the end is. He will give you hope to keep pushing ahead, because He wants you to finish and finish with a good mark. And He wants you to finish with a legacy. He wants you to finish where you can say, I've done well for myself. Amen. That's the God that we serve. The second thing I want to leave with you is that Jesus sees the parts in you that no one else notices. Nathanael asked, how do you know me? And Jesus replied, I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree. I thought that was very interesting, how Jesus looked at Nathanael while he was sitting. Like yesterday when we came here and I saw the big crowd. You know, I get excited when I see a lot of crowds. When we came back from Croatia, I was very depressed. I had someone who got killed while we were in Croatia, and it was very, very sad. And of course, you ask yourself why these things have to happen in life. I don't have the answers. Maybe if you do, you can come and talk to me at the end of the service. I don't have the answers why so many terrible things happen. What I do know is that there is an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God plans, including your life. And if you don't manage yourself well and keep the protection of God upon your life, a lot of things can happen. There is a spiritual war that is taking place for our lives. And I'm grateful to God every day for what He has done for me and what He's doing for many people. But you know what I used to do? Is that among my depressive state of life, I would leave my house and go down to Toronto, where the subway is, around 4 p.m. And around 4 p.m., there will be like hundreds and hundreds of people that will come out and go into the subway. And as I see all these people in the subway, it gives me hope that I have a lot of work to do. I need to share about the love of Jesus. People need the Lord. And that pulled me out of my mindset, I guess you would say. And I went back to school and went into mental health, where I can help people who are struggling with mental health. You know, people see your public life, but God sees your private life. People see your accomplishments, but God sees what it costs you to get there. People see your smile, but God sees what's happening behind your smile. People may criticize what they see on the outside, but Jesus knows the person behind the appearance. You know, imagine, this is a funny story. Can I share a funny story with you? So when I finished school in 1985, now you know a little bit how old I am, right? You can calculate the age a bit. So 1985, I finished school. And when you finish school and you have a sort of a good grade, your grade goes into the government. And then they decide if they want to give you a job. So in 1985, I got a job to work at the government building for that sector. 2 years ago, I got a letter. The letter was never mailed to me or opened up until 2 years ago. That is 2024. That I was accepted in 1995 for a government job. (Laughs) Now, did anything change in that letter? No. I don't think I'll get the job now. I mean, but imagine that when you were born, God wrote a letter. And on that letter, he put all the things that you will be in life, all the good things, that you'll be the greatest mom ever. You'll be the greatest dad ever. You'll be the best CEO of a company. You'll be the best entrepreneur, maybe the businessman, maybe a doctor, maybe a teacher, maybe a plumber. You know, whatever career path you desire in your heart, God wrote it all down. And as you start to develop, the enemy comes along and try to steer your pathway and get you distracted in life. Well, one thing I've learned is whatever God has put down in your life for you as a person, it never changes. It will always be there. When God creates a lane for your life, it's we who get out of that lane, but the lane will never change. We need to get back on track with what God has for us. And I think that's a very good way of how God sees our future. Is there anyone else who can ever see the future but God? What do you think? No, I don't think so either. I'll leave one more story with you. I mean, there's so many stories I can tell you in terms of seeing the hand of God with my wife and I, you know, trying to raise 7 children. You know, back in the days, actually I'm writing a new book, so I'll just give you a little food for thought. Back in the days, we were paying, my wife and I were paying $275 to rent a 2-bedroom house, right? So I told God I want to go to Bible school, but the rent has to be cheaper than $275. We moved to St. Catharines. We got a 3-bedroom apartment building that was new. It's subsidized, and we paid $273 all inclusive. The only thing we had to pay for was cable, but who needs TV, right? And then when we came back from the mission field, I told God, well, it's time for us to do something more. So from paying $273, we ended up buying a house in Toronto, and we paid $279 of something along that way. Our mortgage was $1,700 a month, and my salary was $22,000 a year. Now you try raising a family of 7 children, 1 wife and myself, so 9 people, with $22,000 a year, with a mortgage of $1,700 plus utilities, plus insurance, plus everything under the sun. It takes a big God to stretch your money to pay all the bills that you never fall in debt. Now, God, that's what God has done for us. He never stopped. If I had limited myself and put my eyes on me and my capabilities, I would never be able to push to be where we are today. With 7 children, all serving the Lord, all got into healthcare or that capacity of helping people, it takes a big God to be able to build a big family like that. And if God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody else. Now, I know you're not in my shoes and you're not in my position, but one thing I've learned in life is if I were to seek the face of the Lord, he's always there for me. When the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, he didn't put a limit on the asking. He said, ask. Maybe that's why I asked God for my hair and he gave it to me. I don't know. The third thing before I wrap up to you today is stop looking in the wrong mirror. You know, Nathaniel was looking in the wrong mirror. But Jesus says you will see greater things than that. So you ask yourself, well, from now until whenever God takes me home, what will the greater things be? One of the biggest problems we all have is allowing our past to dictate our future. Our past should never dictate the who we are. Our past does not determine our destiny. The things that the mistakes I've made 20 years, 30 years ago or longer, I cannot change it. The things that has happened to you and I in the past, even up till yesterday. We cannot change it. But we can change the future. We can change the way we see life. We can change the way how we look at what God has for us. We cannot allow life, the situations that we encounter, to rob us from what God has for us. God has greater things for us, every one of us. Doesn't matter how how old you are, how young you are. God has potential. He sees potential for every one of us, every person. And you need to see that potential in yourself. You need to see that there are greater things in store for your life. What that greater things is, only you and God will know that. You know, my heart desire today is that you see yourself as God's masterpiece. You need to see yourself the same way that Jesus sees us. You know, as we look at the water here, kind of thought of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was walking by. And here is Peter, James, and John. And Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men." Now imagine fishermen by a water like this. They don't know much. All they know is fishing. Their language is very foul. There's a whole different culture. In the midst of all of that, Jesus saw that Peter would be the one who would betray him. Jesus also saw that Peter would deny him. Not Peter would betray him, Peter would deny him. That plane is just making me annoyed today. All to all the big skies, why is it right here? Amen. My point to you is that Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Peter would have flaws and mistakes. But Jesus also knew that Peter would become a world changer, that through Peter, revival would start. And that's where you need to see yourself, is that Jesus sees the future. He knows tomorrow. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the bigger picture. And you may not see the bigger picture, but Jesus sees the bigger picture. Today, I want to do two things. You know, the first thing is maybe there are one or two of you here who don't know Jesus Christ. And that's okay. When I say don't know him, I mean you may go to church or perhaps you're raised in a Christian family. But Jesus says that we need to invite him into our heart, just like you invite someone for dinner in your house. And I just want to, you know, for privacy's sake, why not just close your eyes and just kind of focus on the Lord a little bit. And if there's one or two here that says, you know, Harrison, I never saw myself as the masterpiece of God. Maybe I've never given Jesus Christ a chance in my life. If that's you, why not just slip your hands up? And I want to pray with you right where you are. Anyone here? I just want to make sure we're okay. Amen. Anyone who wants Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Well, maybe you all serve him as the Lord of your life. And that's great. I know you have been sitting for a little while, but if you say, Harrison, maybe I need some prayer. If you can just join me, I'm not going to call you to the front. I just want you to maybe acknowledge that you need prayer. Maybe you need prayer for a loved one. You need prayer for yourself, for your marriage. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Maybe your situation. I see those hands putting up. Just put those hands up. Amen. I'm going to pray with you right now. I see those hands. Don't be afraid. You know, it takes a lot of faith to say, God, look at me. I want some more prayer in my life. Well, I don't know about you, but I need prayer every day. So make sure I pray for my wife and family. We need prayer all the time. Father, I just thank you right now. Why not we just stand up? I've been sitting for a little while. Let's just stand up and I'll just pray with you. And at the end of the service, you know, I'll be here. If you want to come and talk, you want maybe prayer personally, I'm sure there's a prayer team here as well. We'll love to pray with you and just join our faith with your faith. We all need a little more in our life. We all have different stories to tell, different struggles in life. But with prayer, we add our faith, we join our faith with one another and say, God, we just want to take that step to move a little bit more further on with you, whether it's for healing, in your marriage, in your relationship, maybe a financial breakthrough. Maybe for your son or daughter that is struggling with addictions. Maybe some hurts and pains that you have been carrying with you and weighing you down. Jesus is more than able. Father, I just thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for your beautiful people here, Father. Thank you today, God, that you love them more than we can ever think or imagine, Father. You're the same God who came down in my room and healed me. You're the same God who's here. Your presence, your spirit, oh God. And today, Father, they came to hear your word. That you see potential in their life. That they are your masterpiece. That you have approved them for a time such as this. And whatever they're encountering in life, oh God, I know that you are bigger than their problems. And I ask right now for your peace to be upon their hearts. I pray for healing. I pray for salvations, God. I pray, God, those that are struggling with addictions that will be broken in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for those that are feeling lonely, that you will comfort them and you will bring the right people across their pathway, Father. For you are always working behind the scenes, Father, to take care of your people. And today I pray that your blessing be upon them. I pray for your favor, God, to be upon their lives, oh Father, that you open new doors of opportunities, Lord, whatever it may be. You promise in your word that you'll give us our heart's desire, Father, and you are the one who put the dreams, and I pray that those desires become reality, Father, that truly we can taste and see that the Lord is good, and there is no one else like our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Why not put those hands together and bless the Lord? I want to give away a book. It's an old book. It was written in 2008. It kind of shares a little bit about having a glimpse of God's glory will change your life for a lifetime. I brought one box, so it's whoever wants a copy, it's free at the book table. And there's a couple other books I've written as well. You're more than welcome to see what we have there. But God bless you so much, and thank you so much for listening today.